think it's just the crowd thing for me these days. I just...
Yeah, I do.
Just what day we meet next?
Right. It's Wednesday, September 9th. We'll call the Judicial Law Enforcement meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Dan Esposito?
Here.
Ron Johnson?
Here.
David Arrington? David Arrington? Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
Aaliyah Blau?
Here.
John Poole?
Here.
Sage Holloway? Rihanna Ritzai?
Here.
She's okay with that?
Yeah, she did great.
See? I have my cheat.
Oh, yeah.
6:30. Citizen comments. Seeing citizens' comments. No citizens' comments are closed. 6:31. Supervisor comments. Any supervisor have any comments at this point? Supervisor,
are we looking at a change of date for the meeting next month due to the budget?
I've talked to Donna about that potentially.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Actually, that's a good point. I'll let everybody know, send an email out so everybody will know if it is changed. I don't know if I really want to change a lot of it, you know what I mean, if we don't have to. It's going to cross-reference, but we'll see.
Okay.
So, any other supervisor have any comments? Some non-supervisor comments are closed. Chairman comments, I don't have any at this time. 6:32. I have approval of the minutes of July 8, 2015.
Motion approved.
Second.
Approved by Supervisor Johnson. Second by Supervisor Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Those are approved. 6:32. I have a resolution from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department probationary cabaret license, Nancy Creek Saloon and Eatery. Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee. I have a resolution for Bass Creek Saloon and Eatery, which is formerly the Bassa, Wisconsin. It's under new ownership. Mr. Novak is behind me.
Thank you for being here.
We had an officer go out and do the premises check as usual and provided Mr. Novak with all the regulations involving the cabaret license. I have no issues with the issue of the license. It seems to be like under new management and off to a blank slate.
Any supervisors have any comments, questions? Captain Waker. How long has this establishment been out there?
July 1st, I took over.
Okay, but it's an existing tavern or a bar?
Yes, it's been there for a year.
Oh, for years? Okay. Any other questions? That can I have a motion approved?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Blau. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It's approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, that was hard.
You drove all the way in here for that.
Yeah.
You tried to make it. Yeah.
You tried to make it painless almost.
You should have just called in.
It's 6:33. We have a request authorization to repurpose bonded funds allocated for vehicles to building improvements to fund the cost to replace electronic security access door systems at both the downtown jail and the detention center.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
How are you?
My apologies. You're going to have to listen to me talk a lot tonight. I'm sorry. Our first resolution request is we're asking to repurpose $136,000 of bonded funds from motorized vehicles to building improvements. This building improvement is a... what's the word for them? We're not repair. We're
updating.
We're updating our card reader system for our doors. I brought props tonight. This is the card reader that slides open the doors. Otherwise, the officers have to cycle this key hundreds of times a day. So I thought that was worth of note. The system we have in place is years and years old. It's been in our 5-year plan for several budget cycles to replace. It has become a crisis where they don't support the software, the hardware is falling off the walls, and we're running out, they don't make these cards anymore. So rather than purchase the $136,000 worth of vehicles this year, we decided to forego that and request your permission to repurpose that money to install the security system door openers at both the pre-trial building and the KCDC.
Any questions or comments for Captain Halsey? We've had problems with these doors in the past anyways, right? They've always been kind of an issue? Yes, no?
We were here, maybe facilities in their budget were here about the slider doors.
Okay.
That's more of a mechanism inside the door. They replace the gears and the framework.
It's failing, so to speak, right?
Right. This is simply a electronic key that will cycle a lock so the officer can get in out of these doors. An added benefit of this is these cards have identification assigned to them, so we use these reports to know when the officers are in and out of the different zones throughout the jail. So it's another report we have for accountability for our officers as well. So,
is this the first time we've changed this since they've been built, right? I mean, is this...
It might be the first time we've changed it since the KCDC has been built downtown. I can't imagine that this was existing technology. Maybe the chief deputy would remember. It may have just been keys back in 1982.
No, I guess my question is, we're good for a while once we do this? That would be, I'm just, you know what I mean? This isn't something that is a every biennial year thing, you know what I mean?
Right. We talked to two different vendors that gave us quotes for this. Both of them talk about a 10-year life cycle. You know, with any technology, you know how it is. Bill Gates needs to make his money somehow, so there'll be a better and bigger the next time, but we expect to see at least a 10 or 15-year cycle with this.
Okay. Any supervisors have any questions? Youth and governance? Sure?
I'm good.
With that, can I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion approved by Supervisor Johnson, seconded by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's approved. Thank you. 635, we have an amendment to the contract between Kenosha County and Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff's Association, KCDSA.
This is a request to change the definition of what an overtime credit is, and here's where my apology will come in large portion, because this is it's an involved explanation. However, it's really a minor nuance that we're changing in the contract the county has with the Deputy Sheriff's Association. Right now, deputy sheriffs are able to sign up for overtime, and if they work a four-hour shift, they get what we call an overtime credit. If they have enough credits in a order-in shift, like a shift that they don't want to work, that comes in last minute, somebody calls in sick for the following shift, if they're low on seniority and don't have enough overtime credits, they are selected to forced to work the overtime. So it's a pick-your-poison type process that's written into the contract. Right now, the definition is a four-hour overtime assignment is a overtime credit. We're requesting that be changed to a 3.75-hour definition for overtime credit to address the fact that many of our shifts start at 7 a.m. in the conveyance unit in the courthouse. And now that we've added the Silver Lake deputies that start at 10:45 a.m., it's doubled our Paddock Lake existing 10:45 a.m. start. It's doubled the number of shifts. We have doubled the number of 10:45 start shifts that we have in the morning. So 7 a.m. to 10:45 is not a four-hour overtime credit. It's a failure for that deputy to get his overtime credit. So he will work the 3.75 hours, but not get a credit because he's only worked 3.75 hours. So conceivably, he then turns around at the end of his shift and then has to work another forced overtime shift the following day, even though he already has worked his fair share. Sheriff Beth, Chief Deputy Smith, Sheriff's Administration, and the Deputy Sheriff's Association all agree that this is the right thing to do. It's fair and it's reasonable, and we're really just adjusting the definition by 15 minutes.
Any questions, Supervisor? Any questions for Kevin? So basically, like we had spoke on this prior to the meeting at length, or I asked my questions. Really not going to affect outcomes on values of overtime or overage of monies. It's basically just language that's changing. You know, it isn't going to cost any more or less, right?
That's absolutely correct.
You know.
This is just a.
I just want the committee to be aware of that.
There's no budget impact on this whatsoever.
Right.
The overtime will be paid either way. It's a required shift that we have to fill. It's just giving the deputy who volunteers for that shift the chance to say, then say, okay, I've got my overtime credit, so I don't get forced into work a double shift on Labor Day weekend, essentially.
Which is fair, I would assume, right?
It's our mission is to find volunteers for all of the overtime that we can across the entire department. And this is just a extra step to make it easier to find volunteers. Because now 3.75 hours will define a credit and we'll be more likely to have volunteers for this group of shifts.
Okay. Plus, we had a shift now from 10:45 that doubled that. We need that anyways, right?
Correct.
Instead of the four.
We realized this immediately after we started servicing Silver Lake that we had more, we had double the number of shifts between 7 a.m. and 10:45 a.m.
Any other questions, Supervisor Poole?
Is this going to be an immediate change or end of the year, or when is this going to take effect?
The contract is, the existing contract goes through the end of 2016. We're requesting the change of the language of the definition of the contract to have it immediate as soon as it's passed by the county board.
All right.
Any other questions?
Motion approved.
Approved by Supervisor Johnson.
Second.
I have a second. Second by Supervisor Poole. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on, we have 640. We have the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department second quarter federal housing revenue. Hey, Captain Halsey, how are you? Nice to see you.
We might have.
This is what they're looking at.
You. The report that was sent in your packets Nancy passed along was through June, an average population, federal population of 191.5 through the end of June. Mr. Chairman, I sent you and Mr. Rose the end of August number.
Yep.
Donna is very quick with her calculations.
She's awesome.
She's a superstar. That was 193 was the average through the end of August. So through 8 months of the year, we're at 193 per day on average. We budgeted 199. So
we're moving in the right direction.
August was a slowdown. We had a significant decrease in our detainees from ICE, from immigration. Marshals stayed solid, higher than we've experienced in the past. But it was a slower month than July was. So, but then today, the last few days, we've noticed an uptick again. I mean, we've talked about this many times in the past.
We know what business we're in. If anybody doesn't know that, they haven't been here.
But to the end of August, we're 193 per day.
Any supervisor have any questions in regards to that? I mean, and typically, we're a little bit busier coming into the fall and than we are in spring. Yes, no?
Well, it varies, and, you know, the thing September is they run out of money, you know, the federal government, and however, this usually September is a lower month, so we've seen the uprise. It's very hard to predict what they're doing. We don't have as many ICE inmates as we used to have, but, you know, our number is a little lower, so I think by the end of the year, we'll probably hit our 199 mark, but it's a slow ride. It's a slow ride. It's so unpredictable at this point.
Okay.
And we're fortunate because, like Captain Halsey said, our federal number, our marshal numbers are up and they're up solid. They're normally never this high. We do about 40, or we're around 70 now.
Yeah, it was 78, 79, right?
Yeah. And they're a lot less hassle than the ICE.
And do we think that's going to continue to be strong, or you just don't know? I mean, obviously, you just don't know.
We don't know.
It has been for some unknown reasons.
Okay. Any other questions? Do you think, Governance, you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a question. Where are you getting this money from?
When we house the immigration detainees or the federal marshal inmates, the federal government pays us a $70 per inmate per day fee. So it comes from the feds.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, I mean, I like to see that it's at least going in the right direction, you know what I mean, as far as that goes. Appreciate the report on that. It's 6:43. We have some information only from the County Sheriff's Department memo to request repurpose of capital funds to purchase a replacement washer.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. This isn't a resolution for this committee. It's a acknowledgement to the Finance Committee, but we want to keep your committee appraised of it. We're requesting a repurposing of $8,733 of bonded funds to afford a new washer at our downtown facility. The industrial strength laundry washer has failed, several years old. The cost to replace it was estimated from $1,500 to $2,500. $8,700 to get brand new includes installation, the full ride of a brand new machine. It's just like the Maytag in your home. We feel that this is a much better use of the money. We are to afford this, we're going to forego some bonded money that was approved in this year's budget, some jail body-worn video cameras, a walk-through metal detector, and some desktop radio communication units that our detention staff feel are not necessary, are not needed. But the laundry, the washer is definitely needed.
Any questions or comments from Supervisor Gattanassi? Supervisor Poole?
Is there any chance to get two smaller machines and, in case you didn't have a full load or, whatever?
I think this is a machine that the people that use it, they select this one as the most appropriate. I think it's a 30-pound washer. The ones at the KCDC are much larger. They're the huge ones. This is the one for downtown that it is used all the time because everybody that gets arrested has that inmate smell that we'd like to get off their clothes. but it needs to be industrial strength. So it wasn't like we could go out to Sears and buy a
right.
So this is the one that the jail staff feels comfortable with.
Okay.
And we're replacing, how old is the one we're replacing?
Quite a bit? I think it's 15 or 18 years old. Wow. It's been repaired a couple of times.
And I would assume the technology's got to be a lot better today than it was 15.
Yeah, it'll last a while.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. More efficient.
Unless it's made out of plastic.
Any questions or comments on this at all? I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Being apprised of it. Thank you very much. Moving on. 646 of the Petosha County Sheriff's Department discussion regarding cabaret licenses. Captain Lankford, how are you?
Thanks. Chairman, I assume this is on the heels of the information that I gave you a reference to an incident in Tar Benders.
It is. I'm going to apprise the committee that I asked to have this put on our agenda, mainly because of the issues we've had at this one facility regarding hip hop parties.
Tar Benders is notorious for that. The owner, Jesse Downing, is a former alderman here in the city, and he only opens up on Fridays and Saturdays periodically when he has these events scheduled. The group that does the DJing there and has parties, from what I've been told, is no longer permitted in the city limits because of the problems they have with the groups that show up. Most of it's gang member type activity out of Chicago, Racine, etc. On the 22nd of August, at closing time, they had an incident where once the crowd exited the building when it was closed, the building was as they were exiting, and they gathered outside. There were some shots that were fired between, we think, up to three different groups. And based on what we found at the scene, at least 20 rounds were fired, and one guy was hit by the name of Dwayne Brantley. I think he's part of the DJ crew, if not the DJ that does the parties there. His wounds were, non-life threatening, and he was fine. However, cooperation from the crowd was nil, and it remains open for investigation right now. We've had other problems with this facility during these events in the past. I didn't bring a list of those with me, but this was the most recent one that we've had. I notice he has it up for sale right now, but it's directly a result of his cabaret authority to have these parties there. And I don't see there, I wouldn't, it would be different if I thought three or four other days of the week it was open for normal business, but it seems like it's only open for these type of parties.
How do we revoke their cabaret license or suspend it?
You have to have a hearing according to the ordinance. After you notify them, you got to give them 10 days notice that there's going to be a hearing on that issue, and let him come in here and argue his case, so to speak, and it can be revoked. It can also be, conditions according to the ordinance can also be imposed on that. His license to have it, so if we wanted to go that route and put some conditions on, because he has no security measures as far as cameras, lighting is okay but not great. Those can also be imposed by the committee if we do want to do that. But it's pretty open-ended in the ordinance. I can read it to you if you like.
Yeah, would you please? Obviously, this is a problem establishment. We all know that.
Weren't we talking about this like in May too, and like way earlier? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a group that, and from what I understand, and I guess I was there obviously, but not, I'm not there all the time for these instances, but the groups that come are not necessarily local either. Racine, Chicago, those kind of things. But under the ordinance, revocation of a license or courted hearing shall be held for the purpose of revoking a license under this ordinance. This hearing shall be preceded by written notice to the holder of such license at least 10 days prior to said hearing. All hearings for revocation shall be heard before the County Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee, which hearing shall afford the holder of such license an opportunity to present evidence on his or her behalf, to cross-examine witnesses sworn under oath by the chairman of said committee, and all such other due process rights to which the applicant may be entitled. The committee, prior to revoking any such license, shall make specific findings of fact to support revocation of the license. In lieu of revoking said license, conditions set by the committee to address specific nuisances, dangers, or hazards may be imposed pursuant to Section 1H of this ordinance. So we kind of have an option of either going with the conditions or right towards a revocation if that's what we choose to do.
Well, when is the Fabbery up for renewal?
I'd have to check on that myself. I don't know when we issue to our vendors. I believe they're on annual.
Correct.
So it's going to be sometime, I would imagine, by the end of this year.
That's my point. I mean, if it's next month, then why go through the steps, this, that, or the other? I think we need to...
I'll have to check with the clerk's office.
Yeah. It seems like
we just did it maybe six.
I think
did we just
May.
Do it in May? Yeah.
I think we rotate like towards the middle of the year.
Yeah.
So usually...
It's a cycle like that.
Yeah.
And I would lean more towards revoking it than conditional. I mean, there's been nothing but problems. And if he's only open, if he was relying on this business and it was open 5 days a week and he had a problem every few months like this, that would be a different case than him opening up once in a blue moon and having a problem every time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He openly carries a firearm, sometimes more than one, tasers for him and his security staff when they have these parties. I believe the last time we were out there, we arrested one of the security guards who was a convicted felon carrying his weapon. So he's employing armed security as well as arming himself.
Isn't he responsible to ensure that the people that he's employing to carry weapons are actually able to carry those, have the license to carry them?
I don't know if he has the capability of checking, but I would imagine he relies on the company because it's an independent contracting company that comes in. Our guys went out there and physically started checking IDs of each one of these contractors.
Gotcha.
That's where they discovered that. But they were, that's where they, remember they tased, or not tased, the pepper sprayed the
yep.
crowd?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That might have been in May. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
Pepper sprayed the dance floor and somebody fell and hit their head because it caused a panic and everybody tried to run out of there because they don't know what the pepper spray is all about.
Chief Deputy?
Mr. Downing believes that the Sheriff's Department harasses. We've had several issues, and I've been over to Chief Morrissey's office with Mr. Downing, and he's had several complaints against our officers for harassment that they can pick on. Basically, for what the captain's saying, we checked on them, we brought in licensed bartenders, and we're just going to blast stop them, and he just leaves it here, subjecting him to unnecessary stuff, but this is the kind of stuff that, why do we go out there that we're dealing with them? So, and I researched everything he said, and I called him back, and I said, your best bet is to, he wanted me to get rid of the charges, and we have rid of some people. I said, you need to go to court, because there's nothing here these officers are doing, and he never returned my call. he definitely feels that the sheriff's department has a case against him. So it's one of these things where no matter what he does, he's being picked on, and he doesn't, that he feels right. We're kind of giving him a bad reputation.
So, not the shootings and the pepper spray and none of that's giving him a bad name. Yeah. It's you guys that
well,
are
that happens on a daily basis at every tavern in Kenosha.
Yeah.
County. Any other supervisors have any comments on this?
I have one question.
Yes.
Just in the event that we do revoke the license, which I think is what's going to happen, what are the rules around, like, if he ever would want to get it back, if that's possible?
It's
that
1 year. Once it's revoked, he can get reapply
okay.
in a year. And
that's fair.
I would venture to guess, since it's up for sale, that we wouldn't see him again.
Probably not.
He'd sell the property and away he goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has to wait at least 1 year.
And I guess my next question is, how does the committee feel about the revocation? Supervisor Block?
I'm in favor of it.
Supervisor Frederick?
I don't know if I'm legally, because I've known Jesse for 30 years. If I have to recuse myself.
Sure.
So.
Not in favor of it.
Sorry?
Not in favor of revocation.
Supervisor Poole?
It sounds like it's a public safety issue, so I might be in favor.
Yeah, and I'm not here saying that this is set in stone. I just want to get an idea of what the committee thinks. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're here addressing the situation because it is a public safety issue. If it wasn't a public safety issue, it wouldn't be before us. You know, I mean, that's the nuts and bolts of it. Supervisor Johnson?
I'm definitely for revocation in place of conditions, just because he only opens it up for these events where there's always...
Yeah, I definitely...
There's always issues.
Yeah, and he's arming himself, and he's bringing in armed
guards.
Yeah.
There's
so
always
it's like, are you expecting something to happen?
I mean, yeah. When there's a shooting, you're putting people. I mean, there's homes near there. I mean, you know, innocent children get shot through windows, and you just can't let things like this.
By the airport, right?
Yes,
it's by the Kenosha. Well, it's by. It's just west of Icky Ricky's there on H and 45, the hangar.
H and 142.
H and 142.
It's the north side of the airport property.
Right, by the airport. Yeah, because I've seen it.
Okay, maybe there are homes there.
You know, there's that super rat, that little gas station. Mm-hmm. That's
the
still,
station.
But nonetheless, I mean, people can get hurt.
Well, still,
it's
know,
no
I
more
mean,
rule.
So anytime it's public safety. And like I say, it's not like it's his livelihood. If it was a resident whose livelihood depended on it, I would be more apt to work on a conditional, but...
I mean, we entertained conditions. It would have to be a camera system in place, put in place. It would need to be some type of and better security, you know.
I agree.
Both not inside and outside. I mean, there. I don't know if there's a solution with the cavalry issue here. I would be more inclined to lean to conditions if he was operating this weekend without a problem. But it just doesn't seem to happen that way. It seems like these parties are regularly scheduled, and that's where he makes his general. The most of his money is off of these big profits. Sure.
You think governance? Your thought?
A cabaret license includes. I see Class B liquor license here too. What does cabaret include then? I thought that did have to do
cabaret
with alcohol.
Cabaret is for all the entertainment, whether it's live entertainment, jukebox, karaoke, DJ, that kind of thing.
Okay.
These gatherings. The liquor license is issued by the town of Summers. So it's absolutely two different.
Okay.
So he cannot, we're not making function as a bar. He can still function as a bar. He just can't have these big gatherings.
Okay.
At least for now, I believe the incorporation is going to take that over at some point. Summers will develop those into their permitting, and we won't even have this conversation.
Oh, okay.
In the
future. So that'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same with the upper deck, which we have problems with, too, on North Sheridan.
When do they anticipate that to happen, then?
I couldn't tell you. Chief, you have any information on that?
No, there's... I don't think they know themselves. They're working on moving, and there's a lot of issues between the town itself and the village. So I don't think it's going to be anytime real soon. It may not be till next year. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think so, just by listening to the talk that's going on. They've got some real big issues they're going to settle.
Yes, could have avoided it.
So basically, in a nutshell, Mr. Downing's opening up on weekends to have these, if you want to call them hip-hop parties, and we've had nothing but problems.
If you'd like, I can go back and supply you with all the calls for service that we've had there over the last couple of years, and you'll get a better breakdown of the history.
Absolutely.
And give you, at least some frequency if you decide you want to table your decision to have a revocation hearing until you see some more information. Plus, I'll have the renewal date for you.
I would like that.
On his cabaret license.
Yep. That's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Let's get everybody have an overall view picture of what's going on mm-hmm. here. So when we do make a decision, it's the right one, and we've looked at it and we've vetted it. You know, I mean, the last thing I want to do is limit somebody from making a living. You know, that's not I think our goal here. That's not what we're here to do. But public safety is an issue. It's an issue, and it's going to take one person to get shot and killed out there before now there's a bigger problem. Do you know what I mean? When it could have potentially been avoided. I mean, that is partially why we're here. So, if we could email it to everybody, Donna?
Not a problem.
Yeah, just send it to me.
Revisit for this next meeting? If
yes, please. I would like that. Donna, if we can put that on the agenda for next meeting.
Yeah. Do you want it emailed earlier the next meeting, or you just want the call presented the next meeting?
I'm sorry?
Do you want it emailed as soon as he sent it to me? Or,
yes.
Or,
I don't want it emailed
as soon. And then on the agenda also?
And on the agenda, yes.
Okay.
That way it gives supervisor enough time to look at it. Different governors time to look at it. So, you know, obviously they're going to come prepared if they have any questions. You know, they don't day of or you know, a few days before. As far as
sure.
I think we just move forward and make an appropriate decision on what needs to be done there. But I appreciate your information, Captain.
I can also, actually, by the old minutes, I can tell you, look and see when the expires too, if I can't get it, that or get it from Connie.
Yeah, that's important. That's important to know when that expires. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It could expire October. You never
that's
know.
That's correct. And then if that's the case, maybe it's.
We just don't renew it.
Bridge. We'll just wait for that correct. To happen.
But, I mean, and I guess I still have a little bit of an issue if this gentleman thinks that the sheriff's department's picking on him and is prejudicial towards him. I mean, I really don't care. You know, I mean, that's not why I'm saying that. I just think that doing our due diligence on this issue is the best way to move forward. You know, and I believe that getting all the information that's possible is the right way to do it, to make an informed, solid decision on how you move forward, and that's the right way to do it.
I guess his lack of accountability for it is what bothers me the most. Is that in his statement he makes it real clear that the bar was closed when all this started, but it's very obvious that 150 is when the call came in. That's when you're closing the bar. People are leaving and starting to gather outside. That's when it happened. It wasn't like the lights were turned off and people just happened to be hanging around. The other occasions where he was issued citations for unlicensed bartenders and everything, he was very evasive with our officers. Instead of taking responsibility, he tried to cover it, saying, oh, she wasn't really working there, and it took some investigation to figure it out, and that's when he was cited. So he obviously knows that he's not playing by all the rules, and that leads to a little consternation on my part.
Well, and let's be fair, we're not at all disasserting or attacking his character. I don't even know him, gentlemen. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy or whatever. It's not my issue. My issue is what's happening at this establishment mm-hmm. before they close and what can happen in the future if you don't take some steps to curb the problem, because it's a problem. You know, he could say it's not a problem, but you know what? It's never a violation or you're never doing something wrong until you get caught.
That is true.
In some people's minds, and that's not the right way to look at it either. So, all right, I think we discussed that issue enough. We'll get the appropriate information and go forward. So, thank you, Captain. I appreciate it. 703. Any other business allowed by law?
Can I ask questions as long as we don't make any decisions under this? I always be confused about any other business. But for human services, We're looking at mental health care, I think you know. We're really delving into how much the county spends in general on mental health care across the board. And eventually, what we'd like to show is that by being proactive in our treatment, we'll actually have you guys spending less money on it and less people going into the system who are incarcerated in general who are in need of mental health care. So hoping at some point that would offset the cost coming from you. But what we really need to know are numbers. Is there a way for us, are you tracking that now? A way for us to get numbers, how many people are receiving mental health care treatments of different types and how much you're spending? I know we can probably figure out how much you're spending on it very easily.
I would think that we'd have to contact our nursing staff and us people also have to see what they have. But they do help, you know, I read it all the time in the emails, you know, but we have a lot of checks because they might commit suicide or whatever, but I know they keep numbers. They won't give us names, but
just numbers.
They may just give us numbers.
Numbers. You know, I know that there, I know you have different programs. You have the doctor, is it Dr. McCarthy coming in?
We have Dr. Butler, and then we also have Dr. Hammond, psychologist here in town. We also have several mental health workers that are in there.
Okay. Yeah, just the number of people they're seeing for counseling or prescribing.
Just about everybody.
Really? Okay.
Donna, can we get those numbers, please?
Yeah, if we could get those numbers, you know, eventually what we'd like to do as we start to move forward with human services is track to see if you're actually spending less as we're spending more to be more proactive. And hopefully that's the direction it's going to move in.
Is that tough to do, Chuck?
Well, I don't know. I will definitely contact HSU, which is the Health Services Unit, tomorrow, and I'll talk to some people. See, I know they have numbers. It's just a matter of how difficult it is to put those together. But I'm sure they have general numbers that we can look at.
Okay.
On a weekly basis or a monthly basis, many people are being dealt with that have to be interviewed. You know, they have to be looked at because they indicated there might be some issues. People that sometimes indicate there's issues aren't really suffering from mental health issues. They do it for other reasons too. So we'd have to have real numbers of who actually is what they determine.
Absolutely. And then I think the spending would probably be the easiest, right? Because it's all broken down in the...
Well, it's incorporated in our budget. There's line items for medical services. Specifically for that, we do it by hours. How many hours we spend, we're up to 50 hours a week. We were at 35 now.
I think it's 80 in this year's budget. I think we're trying for 100 next year, I think.
Yeah, we boosted it. Well, you're right. It is 80 hours this year. It was 35 last year, quite a year's ago. We're trying for 100 hours next year. But a year ago, we were just doing 35 hours a week, which was woefully inadequate. And this year, we went up to 80 hours a week for both facilities, for the mental health workers. And next year, we went up to 100 hours. And we want to have 80 hours spent strictly with inmates, not using part of that money for administrative time, those hours. So that's why we added another 20 to cover the administrative costs, but have 80 hours of counseling or interviewing time with inmates who may be suffering from mental issues. So
I was really surprised John Jansen isn't already collecting. I know they're working on a program to pick up where you guys leave off when they're let go. You know, I've said many times right now in Kenosha County, if you're in a certain financial area set, you are better off in jail than just about anywhere as far as mental health care goes. But once you leave, there's, you know, continued treatment. So I know they're working on something, so I'm really surprised that they're not already asking you for those numbers so that they can see what kind of load they're looking at picking up.
They haven't asked me, so I'll do some research on it.
Okay.
One of the reasons it's better care is because they're confined. It's a captive audience. But because they're with us, a lot of times people who are ill, they're also, their health improves and their diet improves because they're in our care and custody. But when they get out, there's no one to control what they do.
So, and there's nobody for them to see. Right. There's just nobody for them to see when they get out. Nobody that covers it, nobody for them to see. So,
you know, in a lot of ways, you don't want to spend time with jail, but those who need special care they'll get it. And the unfortunate part for a lot of people, it's on the taxpayers' dime that they're getting it. But they do get it, but we're regulated, you know, by what they eat and everything else too. We have registered dietitian has to go over all the menus to make sure that the caloric values are what they're supposed to be and the nutritional values. And it has to be approved before we can feed them. And we just can't do it. We have tons of special diets and diabetic diets, and we also have religious diets that we have to make sure they're governed pretty strict on what we have to do in the jail. And, it's not cheap, but there's not much we can do about it. So, but we, ICE is usually very happy with what they see, especially for federal inmates. And we get inspected a lot. I mean, so it's a challenge to run it. And now we've got to tackle this mental health. And so, but it's always been there. It's just that it seems to be growing.
Well, I think if we can move forward with some numbers, that would help this committee too. So let's put that on the agenda for next month, please. Anything else, Supervisor Johnson?
No, thank you.
So 7:09, with that, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion adjourned by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Blau. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Cortisol? Are they feeling better?
They were for a while, and now their stuff is wearing off.
Oh, I always thought that lasted longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they put the post in yesterday, and they drilled in my jaw.
They drilled in 6 months.
They screwed it in. They ratcheted it.
Didn't last for
very long. I felt like I got beat up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like I got beat
right?
Up.
Like you got punched in the face.
You know,
a lot of times.
I stayed home.
I think it lasted.
So every 6 months,
yeah,
I had it on my shoulder.
That was a problem.
My knees,
and
my sciatica then.
I was in Appleton last week.
It lasted longer than a couple
Wednesday
of hours. When did you get done today?
And then
yeah, it's really
we always have like 40 people up at our place in the lake.
You know where we leave them?
So
no, it's just, you know, now I'm beginning to feel the shot and everything else. So
when we implant full crap, by the time you know it, you get
so
your bone graft.
Have fun riding bike.
I will.
You do this, and you got to put the set this.
It's pitch dark outside.
What?
At least it's not pitch dark outside.
Like yeah. Give it a month.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it.
Really?
I absolutely hated it. Yeah.
All right. See you later.
Thank you, Leah. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, boy. Here it comes.
No.
Double barrel.
No. This is when they... I didn't know it was
just joking.
That's all.
What's that?
Just recuse yourself.
Yeah,
recuse
yourself.
Yeah.
No, I'm well, here's the deal. I don't know why Ron Johnson said it. It's not in favor of revoking it.